Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry, with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
The MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Edge Boost. Edge Boost enables you to double your bet with no interest. Go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/edge to get started today.
Howdy ho, degenerinos, and welcome to the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network, episode 355 is going to go out to the PFL. They need some good karma right now because all their fighters are doing drugs and getting caught. So this goes out to the PFL. This is not one of our PFL episodes. Those will be coming, I guess, soon enough. No, this is back to the UFC. The UFC has a fight night this week from the UFC Apex. Tell me if you've heard that one before. But yes, indeed they do this Saturday night from the UFC Apex. UFC on ESPN, aka UFC Fight Night. Cara France versus Albazi. It is a fight card for the hardcores, but if you're listening to this, then you're definitely one of the hardcores. I don't know if I introduced myself. I'm Jeff Chalks Fox, one of half of the dynamic duo here at the MMA Gambling Podcast. Let's bring in the other half, the brains and the beauty of the operation. It's the one and only Daniel Gumby Vreeland. Hello.
I got a question. Does this have to be a hardcores fight card? Because I will say, yes. You're right in terms of, like, are you in love with this fight card? Yeah, you're probably not unless you're a hardcore. But there are some dudes who have been in the UFC for a minute on this card. You know, not just Arlovsky and Jim Miller, but you also got Tim Elliott, who debuted all the way back at UFC on Fox, Diaz versus Jim Miller, which is, you know, a minute ago. And then you got you got some other ones on there. Felipe Lins feels like he's been in the UFC for a while. Elizu Zaleski dos Santos has been around the block. It's for hardcores, but it's also for people who started watching 12 years ago.
Alex Caceres.
Oh, Caceres. Caceres broke through into the UFC when I was in college. So yeah, that he counts too.
Jared Gordon.
Yeah.
He's been around a while. Lins. Lins only fought four times. So forget Lins. Scratch him. But we'll replace him with Jared Gordon.
I just thinking of him because he was like, was he a World Series of Fighting guy for
a
while?
Yes, he was. Yeah, he was a champ there. So yeah. So there you go. If perhaps some of the old school casuals will come back for this fight card, but it is going down, as I said, this Saturday night from the UFC Apex, June the 3rd. We're going to do the prelims today. So we got 7 prelim fights to ram into your ear holes today. And then tomorrow we'll be back with the 6 fight main card. Hopefully none of these fights fall off. But we have had some rearranging of the card. We've had some fighters had to pull out. Some late last minute replacements have come in. We'll get to that when we get to those fights. We haven't actually lost any fights over like a full fight over the last, you know, little while. There's been a lot of rearranging recently. This was originally supposed to be Hermanson versus Allen. And now it is Cara France versus Albazi, which is fine by me. We always are down for flyweights made of any fight cards, right?
Yeah, that's actually 2 people you want to see fight for 5 rounds.
Exactly. All right. Thoughts on Rob Wilkinson failing a drug test too now?
Dude, is it starting to feel like maybe PFL shouldn't have gone to Vegas?
Yeah, no kidding. Just, that's no other region. Does no one else test or what? What's going on here?
I mean, before they were in Florida, right? That it's lawless down there. Yeah. So, you know, like I think they were just in a place that was maybe less strict testing, or maybe PFL just turned it up this season and were like, hey, let's make sure we've got these methods to test people. Let's actually do it. And it seems like people are being pretty brazen, because if you look at the list, it's not just like, you know, some like things that are math. You know, like a lot of times when you catch people for masking agents and stuff like that. It's not just that. Like, some of these people are pissing radioactive right now, and yes. It's pretty wild.
Yep, it's the hardcore stuff. This isn't like tainted supplements type of stuff that these fighters are doing. So it'll be interesting. Well, when are they supposed to resume again?
Oh, next Thursday.
And oh, really? So we're going to be covered Wilkinson, then?
Wilkinson was on that card too.
It sucks. I like watching him. It's too bad.
Yeah, he was going to fight Ty Flores too, which is like low key kind of a fun fight because Flores is a pretty fun grappler. So it would have been nice to see like whether or not he could get Wilkinson down.
We'll still be breaking down on Monday's episode, I'm sure, anyhow, right?
Yeah. I'm sure by then Flores will have a new opponent that he's like negative 900 against.
Yeah, we'll find some lines for you people to win money on, because we're here to give you the edge, as is Edge Boost. There's my segue. This episode is supported by Edge Boost. Edge Boost is the world's first bet now, pay later Visa card. Edge currently offers up to $2,500 in betting advances, which can be an extremely valuable tool. Imagine what you can do with an increased bankroll. Get down on some of your favorite futures without tying up your bankroll for months. That's what you can do. Double down on a favorite bet you like, or even use it to create an awesome middle or even a hedge, especially with the NFL season coming up. If you want to get in on a whole bunch of futures, but you don't have the bankroll, boom, Edge Boost can give you that boost up to $2,500 extra, interest-free into your betting account for you. So Edge Boost isn't some sleazy loan shark, as they charge zero interest, as I said. Do you know of a way you can access more money to place on your favorite bets without paying any interest? This is the spot. Support SGPN and grow your bankroll by going to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/edge to sign up. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/edge. Must be 21 years or older to use. Problem gambling, call 1-800-GAMBLER. All right. Are you ready to break down some fights?
I am, yeah. And actually, I love these prelims. They're fun.
I must say, I listened to Top Turtle, Dan's other podcast today, and you made some picks on there that made me shake my head like, Dan, what are you doing?
Oh, so
I think we're gonna clash a bit. Maybe not this episode.
I can't wait.
Most of your picks were the main card, so we shall see. Maybe we'll clash some heads right here. Light heavyweights. Felipe Lins versus Maxim Grishin is our curtain jerker of the evening. Oh, sorry, start time. It is an evening card. If you're on the East Coast, it is a 6 p.m. start time, and the prelims are on ESPN and ESPN Plus. So let's get to Lins and Grishin. I'm going to tell you about Lins first. Monstro is the nickname. 16-5, 9 knockouts, 4 submissions. He's been knocked out 4 times. He's 2-2 in the UFC. He's won 2 straight fights, the last one via knockout. He was 4-0 in the PFL, World Series of Fighting. I think it was PFL, actually, when he was there, and he was the champion there. That was at heavyweight. He's down to light heavyweight now. He was 3-3 in Bellator as well. 2005 was his pro MMA debut. He's a year younger than Grishin. In the UFC, he has been outstruck by his opponents by 0.33 strikes per minute. He has better grappling stats than Grishin. He's at plus 114. Grishin, Maximus. These are a couple of good nicknames going up against each other. Maximus and Monstro.
Yeah, I don't. They're not good nicknames.
Huh?
They're not good nicknames.
No, you don't.
His name is Maxim, and they call him Maximus. That's a terrible nickname.
I think it's funny. Maximus versus Monstro is. I think they go together well. I'm not saying they're good nicknames.
Okay.
You are the nickname. God, I can't question your judgment here. All right, Maximus, 32-9-2, 16 knockouts, 6 submissions. He's been knocked out 3 times, submitted 3 times. 2-2 in the UFC. He's gone loss win over his UFC career. He also used to fight at heavyweight. He has missed weight 3 times before in the past. So this may be something you want to keep an eye on if you want to get in on him, or if you want to get on Lins, or you're wavering on the fight. Wait until the actual weigh-ins on Friday. Fighters who miss weight, only win, check my stats, 39% of the time since I started tracking about 3 years ago. This year is right on track at 40%. So it is not a benefit to miss weight. Let me see. 2008 was Lin's pro MMA debut. He has been a very good striker in the UFC. He's outstruck his opponent by 1.33 strikes per minute. He's an inch taller than Lins. He's got better striking stats overall as well than Monstro. He's at minus 130.
So I'm going to kick this off with a dog. I like Felipe Lins quite a bit here. I couldn't believe he was a dog when he posted, because don't get me wrong, he's 2-2 in the UFC, and that certainly like might scare you away from him, especially when you point out that he lost to Tanner Boser, right? Like I don't know, a guy who got outstruck by Tanner Boser, that's kind of scary. But the fact of the matter is he's not that fighter anymore, right? Like he lost to Andrei Arlovsky and Tanner Boser both in 2020. And he didn't fight for almost two full years until 2022. He comes back as a light heavyweight looking, first of all, ripped. Like he is a jacked 205er. And at 205, what does he come in there and do? He comes in there and out wrestles Marcin Procneo easily, right? Like he looks really good doing it. And then he just puts an absolute clinic on OSP on the feet. And I think he could have grappled in that one too. So look, I think Felipe Lins has found his home at 205. And the other thing I'll say too is Maxim Grishin is a guy who relies on length. If you watch that fight against William Knight, like he really tried to stay away and just poke from a distance and like make that work. And he's finally running into a situation where he doesn't have a huge reach advantage. He's fighting a guy who's as long as he is. So yeah, I like Lins for all those reasons. And I really like the fact that we're getting, what did you say the number was there?
Plus 114.
Yeah, I love your weird numbers. Plus 114.
Hey, I'll make them up.
I love that one out the gate.
And you said we. I assume you mean the royal we, because I'm not taking Lins. So I'm against you right out of the gate. I'm taking Grishin. Your points obviously are valid. The grappling is going to be an issue, as is the reach, exact same reach. So as you said, Grishin won't be able to just pot shot him from outside, but he's such a better striker from distance than Lins. Lins gets hit way too much. Has shown in the past that he can be knocked out. Like four out of his five losses have come via knockout, and Grishin's got some power. So I'm going with the better striker in this one, and hopefully he can keep the fight on the feet. We shall see.
I'm gonna just caveat real quick here. I don't know. Do you really think he's a better technical striker? Because he does have the striking numbers against like William Knight and Gada Murazad and Tigalov. But he did get out.
That's a lot to say.
Yeah, those are, I mean, I guess when you bank strikes against those kind of guys.
But who is Lins fought, really?
He
beat
yes,
OSP
that's
and
true.
He beat Marcin Procneo. So.
That's true. But you're right. That's a fair point.
All right. I got a fair point in finally. Whew. But yeah, we are going. We'll see who has the correct point of view come Saturday at about 6 o'clock p.m. All right, we're going to go way down to bantamweights now. Back-to-back bantamweight fights coming up. Damon Blackshear, who is a guest on Gumby's Top Turtle MMA podcast this week. He is fighting Lewin Lacerda. I will tell you about Blackshear first. Da Monster is the nickname. He's 12-5-1, one knockout, eight submissions. Never been finished in a fight. 0-1-1 in the UFC. I just listened to Spencer Kite's podcast. He was saying he's probably the best 0-1 fighter in the UFC currently. So he's 4-1-1 over his last six fights. However, he did lose his last fight. He has multiple regional championships on his
mantle.
Correct. Get the t-shirt, sportsgummypodcast.com/store. Blackshear used to fight up at featherweight. He was 1-0 in Bellator, 3 inches taller than Lacerda, an inch of reach on him. 1 year younger. He's been outstruck over his UFC career by minus 1.6 strikes per minute. He's at plus 125. Lacerda, 12-2 with 10 submissions. He's been submitted himself once. He's 0-1 in the UFC. That was his first loss after winning 10 straight fights. So he's 10-1 over his last 11 fights. Was a regional champion. Used to fight at featherweight as well. 2012 pro MMA debut. He also is a pro grappler. He's more than two times more active landing strikes in the UFC than Blackshear, but we're basing his stats off of one fight. So small sample size. He has better grappling stats as well, but small sample size. As I said, he was outstruck in his one UFC fight by 1.54 strikes per minute. He's at minus 137. All right, I'm going dog this time. We'll be taking Blackshear. He's had a rough start to the UFC career. Tough opponents. But I think he's better than Lacerda. If you look at the whole of their careers, he's fought much better fighters than Lacerda has. And Lacerda basically only wins by submission, and Blackshear has never been submitted. I believe he's a black belt. I heard him say on your show, Dan. So give me the Da Monster for Da plus 125.
So here's the thing. You're right. He has never been submitted. But if you look at the people who have beat him, it is all really good people who can wrestle really well. You know, Fareed Bhasharat, Danny Sabatello, Pat Sabatini. I guess Chris Moutinho can't wrestle well, but Chris Moutinho's got a win over him as well. I'm gonna go Lacerda here. I think he is a much more dynamic striker than Blackshear, and I like Blackshear. I think he is. You're definitely right. Super underrated at 0-1-1. Fareed Bhasharat and Yusuf Zalal is a tough go of it. But Luan Lacerda opened with a fight against Cody Stamann, which is a brutal ask. And not for anything, he actually took Cody Stamann down, which I feel like it slept on. He stuffed every single attempt from Cody Stamann and himself took Cody Stamann down. I think that weighs pretty heavily here for me. And the fact that, I think he's going to be way faster than Damon Blackshear on the feet here. So I'm going to go favorite. I like Luan Lacerda here.
All right, we're giving you both sides of each fight at least, so there's a positive for you. Let's go to bantamweights again. Daniel Santos, Johnny Munoz Jr., they were supposed to fight, a few weeks back. Did we break down this fight originally?
We did, and I already know what side. Yeah, let's see if you remember what side you were on.
I don't remember what side I was on, so we shall see. We shall see. Kid Kavembo is Munoz Jr. He's 12-2, two knockouts, seven submissions. He's been knocked out once, 2-2 in the UFC. He's got a loss, win, loss, win over his UFC career. So he's due for a loss by that pattern. Used to fight up at featherweight, was the king of the cage champion. 2 inches taller than Santos, 4 inches reach on him. He's got better striking and grappling stats than Santos does. And he has outstruck his UFC opponents by 1.39 strikes per minute. He's at plus 180. Willie Cat Santos, 10-2, six knockouts, two submissions, never been finished in a fight. 1-1 in the UFC. He's won 3 of his last 4. Last one, he won via knockout. Used to fight down at flyweight. So we have a former featherweight versus a former flyweight. 2013 pro MMA debut. 2 years younger than Munoz Jr. More active landing strikes than Munoz is. However, he's been outstruck over his two-fight UFC career by 2.7 strikes per minute. Ouch. He's at minus 200.
I'm going to go Santos here. I think what he did against John Castaneda, who we're going to talk about in a bit, I'm a big John Castaneda guy, super impressive to me. Not only because he took the best that John Castaneda had, but he also wrestled with Castaneda in a very impressive way. I mean, he stuffed half of Castaneda's takedowns. Castaneda went 3 of 6. He himself scored 2 out of 4. So he scored half of his 2. They both had a knockdown. He outstruck John Castaneda, which seems wild. I mean, obviously he knocked him out and got the fight of the night bonus too. He just has a fun brawling style. And I think at the end of the day here, Munoz might get him down, but I don't think Munoz will keep him down, which I think is the decider here, right? I mentioned John Castaneda had 3 takedowns in that fight, which lasted, almost 2 full rounds. And in those 3 takedowns, he only scored 2 minutes and 4 seconds of top control time. And that includes cage control. So it's not like he could keep Santos down. And I actually think he's a little better on top than Johnny Munoz is. So Santos, I think, just keeps getting back up here. I think he probably tires Johnny Munoz out. And he's going to put a pace on him because all of these guys from Shoot the Box do.
We agree here. I'm taking Santos. Did I take him the first time?
You did not.
Oh, well, good. I've smartened up since then, apparently.
You took Johnny Munoz originally.
Why would I have done that?
You liked the wrestling. I remember vividly.
I don't like wrestlers anymore. I don't think I ever did.
He had been on my show, and I had faded him. And you were like, I don't know. I like him. And I was like, okay, you can like him. Here's another thing I will just say about Johnny Munoz. If people are thinking about going dog here, he's mentioned in interviews a couple of times recently that he's been working with a new Muay Thai coach and he really likes what he's seeing as results on Muay Thai. I'm not saying that's a reason to fade him straight up, but that is a reason to be more hesitant on him is to be he's a really good grappler who should rely on his grappling. And I think he's going to rely on it less than he needs to here. So I'm going with Willie Cat here.
Yeah. We don't like wrestlers who think they're strikers. So definitely. All right. Well, apparently I've wised up, hopefully.
Atta boy.
Over the past few weeks or whatever. So, all right. Before we give you some more fights, I'm going to give you some ways to win money from us with our NBA Finals and Stanley Cup Finals contests. We've got two more free contests for the Stanley Cup and NBA Finals, and they're exclusively on the SGPN app, so make sure you download the SGPN app, first of all. Series props and game props are what the contest is all about, with a $100 SGPN gift card up for grabs for each contest. You can get some sweet, sick swag if you win that gift card. Download the SGPN app and enter today, NBA Finals and Stanley Cup Final contest.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
All right, we're moving on to the ladies. There's two female fights on the card, one on prelims, one on the main card. The prelim fight is at strawweight. Elise Reed versus Jin Yu Fry, 115 pounds. We're going to tell you about Fry first. 11-8, one knockout, two submissions. She's been knocked out three times, submitted once. 2-4 in the UFC. She's lost two straight fights, got knocked out in her last fight pretty badly, actually. Used to fight down at atomweight. That's where she was the champion Invicta, where she went 7-2. She has missed weight she missed weight twice at atomweight, and now she's up at strawweight, which wouldn't make sense, but she hasn't missed weight for a while. So I guess she's got to dial it in now. All right. Wait a minute. That does make sense. That totally makes sense, Dan. She's at a higher weight class, dummy. All right. She's a regional champ as well. 2 inches of reach on Reed. More active landing strikes than Reed. However, she's been outstruck over her UFC career by 1.06 strikes per minute. She's at plus 115. Elise Reed, 6-3 with two knockouts. She's been knocked out twice, submitted once. So she's been finishing all of her losses. 2-3 in the UFC. She's gone loss, win, loss, win, loss over those five fights. She did get submitted in her last fight, which was a loss. Used fight down to atomweight, up at flyweight. Is a regional champion, 7 years younger than Fry. She's been outstruck over her UFC career by 0.71 strikes per minute, and she's at minus 135. My turn. I will take Fry. I wanted to rhyme and say I don't know why. I just think Elise Reed isn't very good. Fry. that's good enough reason, isn't it?
Yeah, and, I mean, you can
full end stop the right there.
Yeah, and the analysis right there. I'm fine with
exactly.
That.
Exactly. There's concern with the fighter Fry's age that got knocked out really bad last fight. So that's something you gotta worry about. Not that Reed's a power puncher by any means, but that's still that could be the beginning of the end here.
Yeah, I like the dog money here on Fry too, though. This will be one we agree on again. What did you say the number we were getting was?
Plus 115.
Yeah, I like that. And I'll say this about Jin Yu Fry too, is that like really she was on a 3-fight winning streak before she got knocked out by Pauliana Viana. It was a split decision loss to Vanessa Demopoulos. But if you go back on MMA decisions, like everybody had it for Jin Yu Fry. Even the Sherdog guys who have it backwards accidentally gave all three rounds to Jin Yu Fry, when really she only won the first and the second. So like even they messed it up in a way that was like also Jin Yu Fry won. I think Jin Yu Fry is maybe getting a bad rap for being on a 2-fight losing streak. I also think you can't sleep on the fact that she's like low key got some pretty good wrestling. We haven't seen it in all of her fights, but we really saw it in that Gloria DePaula fight. We've seen it defensively pop its head up once in a while. But I think she's just going to pick apart Elise Reed from distance. She might not have a power advantage here, but I think she should have a speed one.
Let's hope. Let's hope Jin Yu Fry has has something left in the tank because I like her. I like the old ones. Hey, we forgot about her. She's been around forever too. Just not
you. You gotta like a safe, solid coach person too.
That's true. He's going to be screaming. He's total opposite of her personality, right?
Yeah. I mean, he adapts.
Very quiet.
He adapts what he needs to.
Yep. She's been around for like a decade, almost a decade as well. So, all right. We are on the same page for the back-to-back. Well, obviously, if I pick Arlovski, we're going to be on the same page here too. So let's see. Heavyweights. Andre Arlovski, Dan's number one MMA crush, right?
Yeah, always. He was maybe my second MMA crush. Chris Lieben.
Yes, there you go. I know my boy. He's fighting Dontale Mays at heavyweight. So we got Jim Miller. We got Andre Arlovski. This is the old, like, as we said off the top, this is the old hats card. All right, Arlovski, the Pitbull, 34-21 with 2 no contests. The original Pitbull, I should say, right?
Yeah.
I don't know of any Pitbulls before him.
He used to bring his Pitbull to Jackson Wink back when he still trained at Jackson
Wink.
Wait
a minute. His name was Maximus, was it not?
Yeah, the Pitbull.
Grishin's name is Max Grishin. Wow. Crazy. Yes, Maxim Grishin.
Sadly, that dog probably can't still be alive, right? That was a
no,
long
you wouldn't
ago.
Think so. Sadly, probably not. Because, no one could have been the original Pitbull because MMA barely existed before Andre Arlovski came around. So, all right, 34-20-21 with 2 no contests, 17 knockouts, 3 submissions. He's been knocked out 11 times, submitted 3 times. 23-15 with 1 no contest in the UFC over 2 stints. He was the interim and then the full heavyweight champion back in his first stint many moons ago. He's gone 4-1 over his last 5 fights. He did get submitted in his last fight. 2000 was his pro MMA, not pro MMA, excuse me, UFC debut. 99 was his pro MMA debut. He also was a Sambo champion. Dan was just a little kid when this guy started. His striking stats are better than Mays. He has outstruck his UFC opponents by 0.59 strikes per minute, which is impressive considering this will be fight 40 in the UFC. He's at plus 118. Kong is Mays' nickname. It's been elevated and it's been changed. It was Lord Kong, King Kong, Kong. Now he's just Kong. 9-5 with 1 no contest, 5 knockouts, 1 submission. He's been knocked out once, submitted twice. 2-3 with 1 no contest in the UFC. He did lose his last fight. He was 2-1 in the contender series, one of the rare people that have fought 3 times in the contender series. Can you name anyone else, Dan? I think there's at least one more, right?
Jamie Pickett.
He fought 3 times? Okay. William Knight didn't, right? Did he fight twice, maybe?
Yeah. They made him go back to the regional scene in between like one of those development contracts, and he actually and he lost on it, which was weird.
That's not good. Anyhow, yeah, Mays took him 3 cracks, but he finally got to the UFC. He was a regional champion as well. Based on the last weigh-ins, he was 21 pounds heavier than Arlovski was. He's 3 inches taller. He has 4 inches of reach, and he's 13 years younger. He has been outstruck in the UFC by 0.39 strikes per minute. He's at minus 125. So I'll just put Dan in right now for Arlovski.
Yeah, you can't, dude. And I'm every time they book an Andre Arlovski fight, I'm like, at some point in time, I have to stop picking him, right? Like, it's we're going to hit a critical mass of the times you can pick Andre Arlovski and not get burnt, or you know, just get burnt a little bit. But they keep finding him fights where I'm like, well, you know, that's probably winnable, right? Like it seems like he could beat Dontale Mays. And like, it does seem like he could beat Dontale Mays. Like, what about Dontale Mays screams like, ooh, gotta watch out, Andre. Because if you look at Arlovski's, I mean, like, look at his last 3 or 4 years of fighting. Like, his last 3 losses are Marcos Rogério de Lima through, like, you know, some good hands and some solid wrestling. You got Tom Aspinall, who took him right down and took his back and choked him out. And you got Jair Zinho Rosenstrike, who knocked him out with a punch like 29 seconds in. But like, nobody's outworking him. There's nobody there who's going to like outbox him and outwork. And like, Dontale Mays has worse cardio than you or I do. You know, like, I mean, he seems like he can throw 3 punches and he's exhausted. He doesn't particularly have really great wrestling. Like, I just don't see anything about Dontale Mays that screams like, here's how he's going to outwork Arlovski. You know, like, I guess he scored some takedowns on Josh Parisian. That's the thing I can say about Dontale Mays. But, I don't like his chances here against Arlovski. Give me dog money on Andre Arlovski.
I'm going there as well, Dan.
Of course you are. Taking Arlovski you know.
Yep. Taking a lot of old fighters, which could be an issue this week. We'll see. I just don't think Mays is that good. or he doesn't really post too much of there. Once again,
that's your breakdown for the whole card.
It's my breakdown. Yeah, I don't think you pretty much laid it out. I don't think he poses too much of a threat to Orlovsky. He's the type of guy Orlovsky should be able to skitter around and win a decision victory over, more than likely. So Orlovsky is our pick. All right, we're going way down to bantamweights again. John Castaneda versus, wait a minute, he's not fighting him. This is stupid. He's fighting Muin Gafarov. It wasn't updated on the set I was looking at. All right, tell you about Gafarov. Tajik is the nickname, 18-4. 10 knockouts, 7 submissions. He's never been finished in a fight. This is a short notice UFC debut. He's won 2 straight fights and 3 of 4. His last 2 wins have come via knockout / TKO. He is currently, I believe, the LFA champ, right?
I'm assuming giving it up.
Yep. Used to fight up at featherweight. He was 0-1 in the contender series, 3-3 in 1 championship. So he has fought on the biggest stage in the world. 2013 pro MMA debut. He also is a professional sambo practitioner. He's 5 years younger than Castaneda. He's got 1 height, 3 inches reach on him, plus 110. Sexy Mexi Castaneda is 19-6, 8 knockouts, 6 submissions. Been knocked out twice. 2-2 in the UFC. Loss, win, loss is the pattern. He got knocked out his last fight. He's missed weight twice in the past, so something to keep an eye on. 1-0 contender series. Used to fight down at bantamweight. Sorry, this is bantamweight. Used to fight up at featherweight and lightweight, I believe. That's what I was trying to say. 2012 was his pro MMA debut. Minus 120. You know what I do with short notice fighters, especially short notice debuting fighters, that I don't think are way above the level of the person they're fighting, which isn't the case here. I fade them. So Castaneda is the pick here. I like minus 120.
I can't believe it's negative 120. When yes. I saw that this was coming in as a short notice fight, I was like, oh, you know, Castaneda has got to be, you know, like I thought the same number. We're going to talk about Jamie Mullarkey in a second. I thought he was going to be in that Jamie Mullarkey area of, you know, we're talking about a guy at negative 500 or something like that. And it isn't. And it's weird because, like, I get that Gafarov is a good wrestler, but, like, it's not like he's an incredible wrestler or like an untouchable wrestler. Like he couldn't hold Chad and Helger down. Chad and Helger popped back up and like outworked him on the feet wildly. And let me get this straight. Like John Castaneda is 8 times the wrestler Chad and Helger is, and he's a better boxer than Chad and Helger is too. I think he is absolutely going to piece Gafarov up on the feet. And in addition to that, like, I think he's going to stuff a lot of those takedowns. I think people sleep. John Castaneda, for those of you who don't know, trains wrestling where Brock Lesnar used to train wrestling. He trains at the Academy in Minnesota with like Greg Nelson and stuff like that. Like he is a dude who went to college to wrestle and then went to a wrestling MMA gym instead. And he's damn good at wrestling. So I don't know why they think this like kind of, I mean, I guess Gafarov's got some hands, but like, I don't know. To me, that's certainly not a path to victory here against Castaneda.
And Castaneda is built just like Brock Lesnar too. So look out, bantamweights.
I mean, if you're going to tell me somebody looks like Brock Lesnar at bantamweight, like,
that would be amazing.
I mean, like he's as close to a bantamweight can get there. I mean, except for maybe like Cody Stamen. Cody Stamen might be like bantamweight Brock Lesnar.
How many bantamweights would it take to beat Brock Lesnar?
That know how to fight?
Yes.
2.
2? Okay.
Yeah. Nobody's beaten anybody 2-on-1. Not if everybody knows how to fight.
Okay, fight circuits. Book it. All right. Main event of the prelims, lightweights, Jamie Mullarkey versus Mohabbatjon Naimov. Actually, where is it, Dan? Where is it? Is that the prelims or on the main card? Do you know?
They keep shuffling it. I see that one on the main card in Zaleski versus Nurmagomedov on the prelims, yeah. But we can flip flop it. I'm fine with this order.
What does Tapology say? Tapology is
Nurmagomedov and Zaleski on the prelims.
Okay, let's do that. Let's do that then, because Wikipedia hasn't been updated with another fight. So we're doing change of plans. These guys are what welterweights? Yes, Abubakar Nurmagomedov versus Elazio Zaleski Dos Santos welterweight fight. Maybe in the main card, may not. We'll see. As of this recording, we're saying it's the main event of the prelims. All right, let me tell you about Nurmagomedov. 17-3-1, 6 knockouts, 4 submissions. He's been knocked out once, submitted twice, 2-1 in the UFC. He's won 2 straight fights He's not lost since November of 2019. He also was in the World Series fighting in PFL, where he went 6-1-1. He's fought at middleweight and light heavyweight. 2011, he's been a pro fighter since. He's 3 years younger than Zaleski Dos Santos. He's got better striking and grappling stats. He's outstruck his opponents by 0.64 strikes per minute. He's a Sambo champion. He's at minus 110. And this is the not related Nurmagomedov, I believe, right? Because this is the striker one.
Correct.
Okay. Zaleski Dos Santos, also not related to Khabib. Capoeira is a nickname. That would be like if your nickname was baseball, right?
That's correct, yes.
Okay.
Or jiu-jitsu.
Zaleski Dos Santos, 23-7, 14 knockouts, 3 submissions. He's been knocked out once, submitted twice. 9-3 in the UFC. He's gone loss, win, loss, win. He's not fought, however, since October 2021. Was a regional champion, 2009 pro MMA debut. He's got an inch of reach on Nurmagomedov. He's more active, landing strikes. He's outstruck his UFC opponents by 1.43 strikes per minute. Minus 105 is the number. And it's you.
My turn?
Yes, sir.
I'm going to go with Aizu Zaleski Dos Santos.
I knew it.
Yeah, I just don't. I think he, man, this is going to be wild to say for those of you who are just like last name hunting here. I think he's got a grappling advantage. Am I wrong about that? Like he
possibly, yeah.
I've
you're possibly
him,
wrong. You're possibly right.
I've seen him go in there and look really good with his takedowns, look really good in the clinch. And I know it's been a long time since we've seen him, right? Like it's been almost 2 years, but man, like when we saw him 2 years ago, he was putting an absolutely savage beat down on Benoit Saint-Denis, like in a very ugly way. And really before that, he had a really competitive fight with Muslim Salikov, who's like a ranked light heavy or a ranked welterweight rather. He's been competitive pretty much his whole career. I mean, we're talking about a guy who knocked out Sean Strickland and, you know, like beat the hell out of Max Griffin. And like he is, by all intents and purposes, a very good welterweight when he's healthy. Abubakar Nurmagomedov, like, I don't know. I've seen some flashes of when he looks really good. And then I've seen some times where he looks real bad. Like, Gadzi Omar Gadzaev took him down and kind of controlled him pretty well with his grappling. And don't get me wrong, Nurmagomedov later got his own takedown and did well after, like, Omar Gadzaev got kind of tired. But, like, I don't know that I trust him to, like, tired out Aizu Zaleski Dos Santos. Zaleski is a crazy man. So, yeah, I'm going to go with Zaleski here. I think he's going to outwork Nurmagomedov. I think he's going to be better on the feet. I think he will have enough in the grappling that will keep this a striking match.
I'm taking Nurmagomedov and the slight dog money here. I'm concerned about the amount of time Zaleski Dos Santos has been on the shelf. That very close fight that basically is the thing that swung it in Nurmagomedov's favor. So I have a feeling I know the fighters you like and don't like, Dan, after all these years. So I knew you were going to fade Nurmagomedov.
Yeah. He's the bad Nurmagomedov too. Remember?
Yes. I'm not arguing that. That's for sure.
This is the one who got submitted by David Zawada. Remember?
Yes. Those days are over. He's won 2 straight fights. So, all right, I'll recap.
He also got submitted by Pavel Kush.
That's a good name. I don't even know that guy.
Yeah, of course you don't.
Of course I don't. All right.
It wasn't that long ago either.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't really care. All right, Nurmagomedov is my pick. Zaleski Dos Santos is Dan's. We both have Castaneda. We both have Arlovski. Both have Fry. Both have Santos. He has Lacerda. I have Blackshear. I have Grishin. He has Linz. Now we have to do Edge Boots double down play of the day. I think it should be Castaneda. What do you think?
I think so. Yeah.
All right. Edge Boots. Go ahead.
No, by all means, go ahead.
Okay, I'll say it, and then you can say why. Our Edge Boost Double Down Play of the Day is Daniel Castaneda. Edge Boost enables you to double your bet with no interest. Go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/edge. Sign up today at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/edge. What were you going to say that was so important, Dan? Go ahead.
No, I was just going to agree with you. Like, he looks... I can't absolutely think of a good reason why this dude is coming in at negative 120 on a late notice replacement, other than they see a scary Eastern European name and assume he can out-wrestle anybody.
Yep, there you go. It's stereotyping at its worst. So there you go. Double down on that with Edge Boost. All right, we gave you all of our prelim picks. We gave you 2 different sides of a bunch of them there, too. You can hit us up on the Sports Gambling Podcast Discord, which we haven't even mentioned yet. sportsgamblingpodcast.com/discord. It's a place to be. Lots of fun in there, talking fights and every other sport under the sun. You can hit us up on Twitter, SGPNMMA. Gumby runs that. He's also at Gumby Vreeland. I'm at Jeff Fox Writer. If you're into Instagram, I'm at Jeff, same name, Jeff_Fox_Writer on Instagram. Gumby, I told you about his Top Turtle podcast. Damon Blackshear is on this week, as well as Amon Zahabi. So listen to that. And then go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com for all of your SGPN needs. And if you want my MMA writing into your email inbox every day and you enter my pick'em contest, go to moneymma.substack.com. So we will be back tomorrow, Thursday, for the main card breakdown and all our fancy dancy picks. Who will be hosting that show, you ask? It will be me, Maximus, Jeff Fox, and Monstro Gumby Vreeland will be riding shotgun as well. We will see you then. Bye.